I have a sermon that I'd like to preach now called The Assignment Alignment. The Assignment Alignment. Middle school, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you guys. They don't wait for me anymore. They just put the thing up because they go, no. I really do like middle schoolers. It's just, I get so excited about my message. I want to talk about rediscovering purpose in our daily lives, rediscovering purpose. Proverbs 11, there's this scripture that is speaking to a nation. It's a basic guiding principle from Solomon. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. The New English Translation says, where there's no guidance, a nation falls, but with success comes with the abundance of counselors. Where there is no counsel, the New King James says, people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And as many of you probably know the scripture from the King James, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And basically saying, listen, it's helpful for a nation to have, and for a group of people, for an endeavor to have counsel. And if there is no counsel, oftentimes people fail. The challenge is not lack of passion or lack of desire, it's lack of knowledge. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So get some people around you who are qualified, skilled, and let them counsel you. You'll save yourself a dramatic amount of pain and a lot of failure. So I like the principle of that, and I think we all get there. And then jump to Proverbs 29. There's a sort of a mirroring scripture, but this one speaks to us as individuals. And it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The New English says, where there is no prophetic vision, people will cast off restraint. King James, New King James says, where there is no revelation, people will cast off restraint. And the King James, where most of us again will know it, where there is no vision, the people perish. All right. So now this, there's something powerful about prophetic vision. Revelation and understanding in the spirit, there's something galvanizing about when you and I get that, because in its absence, the Bible says people cast aside restraint, or they fail, or they perish, or they fall into anarchy, as the one version says. So having the sense of mission, having a prophetic vision, a revelatory focus is a very, very helpful thing. Without that sense of direction, we kind of just become adrift. Remember the story in Alice in Wonderland? She says to the rabbit, there's two roads. She goes, hey, which road should I take? He says, where do you want to go? She goes, I don't know. He says, doesn't matter which road you take. Without a prophetic sense of urgency or a revelation of like, I'm supposed to be doing this, well, then it doesn't matter which road you take. So where there's no prophetic sense of revelation, people cast off restraint. Well, we can just do anything. It doesn't matter. But when you have that prophetic sense, my life is about this. I'm supposed to be doing this. It's my job that I do accomplish that. Well, then suddenly that hones in your focus. It disciplines your words. It changes everything about what you're doing. A prophetic vision is needed for fruitful life in the kingdom. A couple of months back, I was talking to Eri, and Eri, one of her jobs, Marcella, is she looks after missionaries around the world, and one of her jobs is she helps them when they take sabbaticals, just to focus them and think it through and work with them. And she said something that was very, very helpful, and I asked her for the quote because I thought it was really helpful to all of us, by a guy called Adam Grant. And he said this, relaxing is not the only way to recharge. Finding meaning is a source of fuel. A restorative break doesn't just avoid tasks that burn you out. It includes people and projects that fire you up. Detaching from stress prevents exhaustion, but attaching to purpose elevates energy. I like that. It's like, well, I'm so exhausted. I'm going to go take 2 weeks and lie on a Caribbean island. And then at the end of 2 weeks, you come back and you jump back into the same old place and nothing's really changed. Like half an hour in, you're like, I need another island. So it's not just about downing tools, it's about attaching to purpose. It's about discovering that hope. Where there is no prophetic revelation, where there's no sense of a God-ordained vision or a whisper, I'm supposed to be about this job. Well, then it doesn't matter. I can cast off restraint, but that attaching to purpose ignites energy within me. I get shiny eyes again. I go like, I'm on a mission. I got something to do here that is of eternal worth. And it's got nothing to do with the surroundings. It's got nothing to do with how amazing my job is or how amazing everything else is. I like the phrase that I want to attach to purpose because it will energize me. So that was a couple of months ago, touch point, and really I stuck with me. And it was like one of those things I was like, man, I like that. And then we were ministering with Dale Marston, and I'd called Dale because we were supposed to share a different, you know, he was ministering, I was ministering, you know, back and forth. And so I was just talking to him, and he said something interesting to me. He said, you know, my purpose for this weekend, he said, my assignment for this weekend is this. And I liked that. I was like, I don't know what my assignment for the weekend is. I had an idea, though. I went to the Lord. I said, what's my assignment for the weekend? And the Lord reminded me. He said, I've told you what your assignment is. I've told you where to go, and I've told you what to do. And I went back, and he reminded me, and I was like, I do have an assignment. I do have something. So next time I spoke to Dale, we were in a meeting with all of us, and I was like, and somebody said, hey, what are you doing? I got my assignment for this weekend. It's a pretty cool feeling. I'm here on a mission. I have something to do. I have a thing to do because great peace comes to me when I know my assignment at this time. I need to do what is necessary to fulfill the assignment, and I don't need to do anything else. That purpose constrains my actions. It focuses me. It restrains negative things. It guides me along this river of cooperative mission with the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you went to the 4th of July celebration that you went to, but you had a sense of mission. If you don't have a sense of mission, you go to a celebration and you go, hey, happy 4th. If you have a sense of purpose, a sense of mission, I'm here to encourage two people. I was praying this morning. The Lord said, there's two people you're going to meet today. And one's in depression and one's just really struggling. And I want you to encourage them. I want you to lift that person out of depression, and I want you to give focus to the other person. That's what I've got. And so he put scriptures in my heart because I'm praying now. Now I'm loaded for bear. Now I'm walking around my party going, is it him? Is it her? I'm on mission. It didn't cost me any more energy, but boy, it makes it a lot more fun. Because I'm not just celebrating. I'm not just eating, you know, chips and hamburgers. I got a purpose. I'm on mission. I've attached to purpose. This is my assignment today. And you get the sense that Jesus always seemed to operate like this, don't you, in the scriptures? In Luke 19, it says, when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he just met him. Hey, Zacchaeus, yeah, I need to come to you for lunch today. My assignment today is your house. Because he's going through Jericho, and everybody's quite upset because Jesus is not. They go, hey, would you like to come for dinner? He's going, no, sorry, I have to go. And, come here, this way. And Jesus goes, no. And he walks up to a tree, goes, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I have to come to your house today. There's a sense of purpose. This kind comes out only by prayer, Jesus said. The implication is Jesus had already prayed because he drove the demon out. Matthew, go to the village at once and you'll find a donkey and then unreleased, bring the donkey. Why? Because I have to ride on the donkey today into the city. And so when I asked the father, how do I get a donkey? He said, this is what's going to happen. Peter, James, and John, I want you guys. No, not the rest of you. You guys stay here. Wait. We're just going to go over here. And then come with me. They go up the mountain, and then he's transfigured in front of them because he didn't want to be transfigured in front of all of them. He just wanted them. He knew it was coming. There's a sense of purpose. Jesus had a sense in his life that he was guided by more than just wandering around doing things. So I hope today's message is going to create a moment of pause for you and for me, where we get to look up and reevaluate and reset our sights on those assignments, to realign with that assignment, to attach to our purpose. We've spoken earlier about the job that I have in this world, but then there's the work that God has assigned me to do. Jesus said to the Father in his great high priestly prayer, I have finished the work that you assigned me. There is some work for you to do. And if you're still alive, it's because you're not finished with the work that God has assigned you. Because when Jesus finished the work, next thing he did is he went home. When John the Baptist finished his work, he went home. You're alive today because there's still work for you to be doing. Faithfulness in the assignment that God has given you has eternal consequences and rewards. Because now's the time to get about doing it. The wealthiest place in the world is a cemetery down the road, because there lies buried the companies that were never started, the inventions that were never made, the bestsellers that were never written, the masterpieces that were not painted, the songs that were unsung, the acts of kindness undone. It is the greatest treasure of untapped potential. You have an opportunity now in your life to get about doing something good. You are the solution to a problem that exists on the earth today. Yours is the compassion that somebody out there is starving for. Your voice is the needed to create the harmony out of the chorus of pain. Your prayer is the key that God will unlock someone else's path with. Your wit can elevate somebody else's day. Your testimony can create new possibilities for the depressed. What Jesus told you this morning may change somebody's world this afternoon, and you are the vital thread in an intricate tapestry that you are designed to star in. You are not made without purpose. You were created with purpose. Before you existed, your purpose existed. There is not a creation. God didn't have nothing in mind and just sort of, I'll whip something together and see what happens. No, he had a grand intention. He had a very specific purpose. Purpose precedes creation. And so God had a purpose, and then he created you to fulfill that purpose. Not sure everybody's getting this, but that's just the truth. So let's talk about how do I engage with this. I want to say, Greg, I'm in. How do we do this? How can I be better at engaging with my assignment? Because no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what circumstances you're in, you have an assignment from the King of Glory. And when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you were created in Jesus to do something that he has prepared in advance for you to do. So the very first thing that we tend to have to do is to embrace our identity, because you cannot walk into the destiny God assigned you until you embrace the destiny, the identity that he provided for you. See, the last revelation you had is the next place of the enemy's attack on your life. If the seed of God's revelation to you is allowed to take root in you, it creates massive problems for the kingdom of darkness, right? And so the birds of the air still fly around trying to steal seed that lies on the surface of hearts that is not taken in. So that's why it's important to ponder and to meditate and to reread and to pray through and to share with your spouse and your family and your friends what the Lord has been saying to you. Get it circulating and settled in your heart, especially those parts that deal with your identity in Christ. One of the biggest areas of attack of the enemy is to take us out of our identity in Christ and put us back into our identity as sinners. Yeah. This is still the biggest place of attack. This is still the focus of the enemy, because if he can get you believing about who you were before you were in Christ and not who you are now in Christ. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like the truth that is in my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing well. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm flourishing. Sometimes it doesn't feel like the favor of God is on me. And the enemy goes, you see? But I have to learn how to say, no, but let me tell you who I am. Because this is, let me show you this in Jesus' life. The very first thing, like Luke 3, Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends on him bodily like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, you are my son whom I love, and with you I'm well pleased. Yes. And then very next, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And the devil said to him, number one, if you're the Son of God. He just heard, you are my beloved son. I love you. I'm well pleased with you. He goes, I'm not so sure you're the Son of God. Prove it to me. And can I just say that same, the revelation of God to you about your identity in Christ is going to be the highest place the enemy wants to attack you on. No, don't you go thinking fancy things about yourself. Don't you dare think you're free from your sin. Don't you dare think that God's favor is on you. Don't you, who do you think you are? You think you God's listening to your prayers? Yes. But you got irritated with that person the other day. Yes. I was wrong. Didn't change my status. Didn't change my identity. I was born a Haswell. I'm sometimes a good Haswell, sometimes I'm a bad Haswell. But I'm a Haswell. Even when I do stupid things, they say, that's a stupid Haswell. It didn't change my identity. The way you get identity is you get born into it. And when you were born again, you were born into a new identity. Now you can be a bad Christian and be a good Christian. Doesn't change your identity. Am I speaking to anybody yet? You look so spiritual, like you don't know what I'm talking about. The greatest area of the enemy's attack is going to be your identity in Christ. So we should settle in our hearts that we are brand new creations, holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, as Colossians 1:22 says. That we are deeply loved and highly favored, that we have been set free from a sinful past, we've been emancipated from all shame and condemnation, we've been proclaimed in right standing with God eternally, that we are represented by a perfect high priest, we're interceded for by the Son of God and the Holy Spirit, we are in an eternal covenant with the Almighty God, we're sealed with the love-driven blood of the sacrifice of the Son of God. We are called to pre-planned, prepared good works overseen by our Father in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's who you are. You can't walk in to the destiny God wants you to walk into until you embrace the identity He's provided for you. It's the first fight of faith. If you believe religion is the way to go, well, then it's dependent on your performance to an external set of laws. But the gospel has got nothing to do with that. The gospel says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. People think I wrote that. I'm making that up to fit my sermon. I didn't make that up to fit my sermon. That's what the Bible says. And I love that because it puts against the backdrop of grace and faith, not against the backdrop of the perfection of your obedience, but against the backdrop of grace and faith, the Bible says you are His workmanship. That's the environment. That's the playground we're in. It is grace and faith. It's not perfection and obedience. I didn't earn this. This was an incredibly gracious gift from a good God, and it's not up to me to be perfect before I can do good works. Ooh, some of you need this. You need to get this. When we realize that we are God's handiwork, His creation, His fingerprints are all over you. You were created in Christ Jesus for pre-planned good works. This means that the life story you're living, there are going to be eternal events that work in, divine connections that you are called to accomplish. And if you're faithful in doing them, to the one who's given a little bit will be given more. So your identity in Christ qualifies you for more than you could earn. They're in advance prepared, is what the literal says. It's an old verb which means they've been made ready beforehand. God has teed up. God has teed up in the pathway you're living. He's teed up eternal works for you. Moments where the breath of the Spirit of God can speak through you in encouragement, give a word of wisdom, speak out a hope-filled place. Testify to somebody about something that God wants to do. Lead someone to Christ. There are good works that have been pre-planned and pre-positioned in the path where you're walking, and it all just needs you and I to connect to purpose and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, I don't mind where your emotions are. I don't care. I care about your struggles, but your struggles do not disqualify you. It's not the pressures you're under or the headwinds you're facing or the popularity you currently have. It's not the opinion of others or the popular tide that's flowing around you. It's what you do in response to the one who is called alongside to comfort and to counsel you. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort and counsel you. And so some people say, well, I couldn't possibly be doing any good works. If you knew the kind of week I've just had, Greg, you would understand. And I'm just going to say, it's not about what you think you qualify for. This is about the Holy Spirit who has been called alongside you to comfort you and to counsel you. And he has some things planned for you. And if you will just forget all the other voices and say, what do you want me to do? You may just find that later on this afternoon, tomorrow, throughout your week, every day there's a few assignments for you that are easy for you to do and produce incredible fruit. So ask about your assignments. This is Paul's prayer in Colossians 1. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you will live a life worthy of the Lord. May please him in every way, bear fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of God. Paul said, we've not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Can you imagine what it would be like to be filled with the knowledge of God's will? That's a worthy prayer. What would you like me to be doing now? Could you fill me, Lord, with a knowledge? Could you align me with purpose? Could you light me up with some prophetic revelation so that I don't have to cast off restraint, but give me some wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives? Holy Spirit, could you drop something? Could you deliver something? And friends, it's not all world-changing. It's not all, I want you to go speak to Putin. No, sometimes it's, I want you to speak to your child. I want you to love your child. I want you to hug your spouse. I want you to say this to somebody that you know. And sometimes it can be world changing. I'm just saying, I can't be God. No, the one who's called alongside to comfort you and to counsel you. I remember I was praying. The Lord said to me, I was in prayer one day, and the Lord said, I want you to go and speak tenderly to Michelle. I was like, she doesn't need that. You know, you carry on praying and it's not going, you know, the prayers are hitting the floor and just skulking. I was like, okay. I said, she's in the kitchen. She's looking happy. I go, hey, are you okay? I just hugged her. She starts weeping. Man, I'm just really down, and this and this person said that and that person was ugly. This was many years ago. Okay, so you're all going to go, oh, are you okay? And saying, We look forward to your calls. Yeah, no. I look forward to your letters. Yeah. Because wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives implies I'm asking and discussing and praying and thinking about my assignment in this meeting, at this party, among these people. This becomes a very exciting way to live. You're going to be with some people. It's helpful if you speak together, if you're married, husband and wife. What's the assignment? What's the agenda? Because sometimes it may be, let's go and have fun. So I'm all, hey, let's have fun. What are you doing having fun? I feel like it's the assignment. So the Bible says this brings four commendable results, which is very cool, that you'll live a life worthy of the Lord. Yeah, I want that. Number two, you please him in every way. Yeah, I'd like that. You bear fruit in every good work. And that's kind of the focus of the message. I really would like to bear fruit in all the good works that he's prepared in advance for me to do. And I'll grow in the knowledge of God. Where we have this prophetic or the revelatory sense of what the Lord wants, the revelatory assignment of God produces fruitfulness out of our life. And that's exactly what James said. So I'm just reminding you, we're just bouncing around a little on this message because I just wanted to give us a sense of that this is attainable. This is attainable for people like you and me, ordinary people who just with a genuine heart, not a perfection of lifestyle, but a genuine heart after God, saying, God, I really would like, could you fill me with the knowledge of your will? Would you connect me to assignment? Would you show me? I know, Lord, I know according to your word that there are good works that you prepared in advance for me to do, and that I am supposed to be the star of the story of my life. I'm supposed to be somebody who steps forward. I'm not going to leave potential. I'm not going to leave an opportunity on the ground. I'm going to step into it, and it's not like superhuman effort required. It's me being me. It's you being you in the circumstances of your life. You don't have to supernaturally change who you are and step out of your circumstances in order to find and attain these good works. No, God has put them in your path and in your world. James said, let perseverance finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Oh. Sometimes you want to just shake religion and say, you need to read your Bible. Because that's what the Bible says, how God gives. God is a generous giver to all without finding fault. Religion teaches you God finds a significant fault and therefore withholds. That's the message of religion. It's not the message of the gospel, who gives generously to all without finding fault. But if you ask, believe, don't doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown back and forth. In other words, he says, listen, you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I would like to find out what today's assignments are. I would like to attach to purpose today. I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to face my boss. I'm going to be with these people. Nothing's changed about my circumstances in my life. I'm going to go about my daily life. But I would really like to know from the Almighty God, what is your agenda for me today? What is my assignment? Holy Spirit, what could you lead me to do? And I'm asking for the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. That's what the Bible says. I want the wisdom and understanding. Now, James says, when you ask, don't doubt. Don't go, I didn't hear anything. He must not have listened. No, you hang in there a little. You know what that says to me? It's not always going to come instantly. You're not always going to understand immediately. Sometimes you're going to go, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. And then as you go through the day, you'll feel him whisper. This, you're coming up on something. Well, hang on now. Now, speak here. Sometimes he gives it to you ahead of time. Sometimes he gives it to you in the moment. Don't doubt. If you ask, if you say, Lord, I really would like you to fill me with the knowledge of your will. I would like to know my assignment. My assignment today, this is my purpose today. Now, let me just give you three signposts. Because people say, well, I don't know what the good works are. I don't know where I can find them. Are there any signposts? And well, let me give you three signposts that are not exactly where it is, but they're pointing the direction. It's in this direction. Go down this road, and that'll help you get to where I think the center of your good works are going to be housed and expected and waiting for you. The first is your passions. I want to ask you, what are you passionate about? Because the Bible says that God works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God is working in you to create desires in you, to will according to his purpose. So pay attention to what you desire. Religion taught me all the year, don't you dare long for anything, because if you want something, you have to crucify that. Right. Until I read the scripture. It said, God's working desires in me. How do I know what? Well, I never trust. Now, evil desire, obviously. Sinful desire, obviously, kick that out. I'm not talking about that nonsense. I'm talking about stuff that's in your heart that your heart aches for, that you, when you have a free moment, your mind starts to wander to, you start to dream about, why isn't somebody doing something about this? That stuff. Because God is working in you to will and to act according to his purpose. So pay attention to your desires. Why aren't we educating more people, more children? Why aren't we protecting children better? Why aren't we helping more children be adopted or fostered? Why aren't we discipling people better? Why? Listen to this. Where's your passion lie? That's not an evil thing. That's a God, Holy Spirit breathed whisper. It starts in your belly. And if you feed it enough, if you throw a little bit of kindling on there, it starts to become a flame until it becomes a passion that you can't stop. Until all the other people, oh, you can't do that. We don't do that here. Oh, that's not going to work. It's not possible. You go, I got a fire in my belly. We're gonna make a way. We'll find a plan. We'll get the resources. We'll find, because this needs to get done. Listen to your passions, your good works on down that road. Second one is your areas of excellence. Where is your genius? Oh, Greg, I don't talk about genius. That's not humble. Moses said Moses was the most humble man on earth. Said it about himself because it was true. He wore the most humble man on earth badge and still was the most humble man on earth. What are you excellent at? Because there's genius inside of you. You know how I know? Because you're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You bear the spark of heaven. There is the genius of God. There is the whisper of eternity. God has set eternity in your heart. There is something about you that is unique, and you are the answer to a problem that exists on the earth. That's why you exist. Your purpose preceded your creation. You have purpose in this life. And I'm intrigued by your purpose, and so should you be. And God has made you, has gifted you with excellence. And sometimes you can hone that excellence. Sometimes you can practice that excellence. Sometimes you can study your way. Sometimes you need counsel. I'm not saying you don't need any improvement. I'm just saying that there are some areas where you really could. And your good works are down the other side of that. And thirdly, your opportunities. Paul said, this is the rule I laid down in all the churches. Stay where you are. In life, stay. If you inherit household, stay in Herod's household. If you work in the bakery, stay in the bakery. Why? Because you don't have to find another alternative. You don't have to find other options. You don't have to look for opportunities. God has built opportunity in. Well, I'm a housewife. God has built opportunity, stacked it up all around you. You don't have to go looking for it. But what opportunities has he given you? What are your passions? What are you excellent at? What are your opportunities? Just stack those together. It'll give you a starting point. But I'd like to offer to you, I dare you to take some time this week, draw aside to the secret place, and ask the Lord, what's my assignment for today? I'm asking that you fill me with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, because I want to please you in every way. I want to bear fruit in every good work. I want to be growing in the knowledge of God. And it comes from being filled with his knowledge. And I dare you, when you get a sense of it, if you're a teenager at school, if you're younger than that at school, you have purpose and you have an assignment. Oh, well, when you get to a certain age, this kicks in. No, this kicks in when the first time you breathed. And this doesn't leave you till the last time you breathe. Let's pray together. Lord, honestly, we're just a little bit hungry to be filled with the knowledge of your will. We're a little bit hungry, Holy Spirit, to be led by you. A little bit eager, Lord, to hear your voice saying, this is the way. Today, there's someone up a tree. Today, there's someone blind by the side of the road. Today, there's someone lame in their world. Today, there's someone hopeless. And my assignment to you is to go and speak a word of life. Lord, I know that along this path we can grow in the knowledge of God. The more we do this, Lord, the clearer we become, the better we become. So I'm asking, Lord, today, that for everyone in this meeting who said, Lord, that's me, I really want that. I'm asking, Lord, for a supernatural release of the fullness of your wisdom and your knowledge, that they'd be filled with your knowledge, and that they'd get a prophetic sense, Lord, a prophetic revelation that becomes a demanding presence in their life. We so appreciate you, Lord, and what you do in our lives. We're so grateful to you. I pray, Lord, for a massive, fruitful injection into our daily lives. In Jesus' name.